So maybe you're new here, and you're wondering what we're all about. Maybe this will help. We hope that in this church you will find people who are welcoming and spiritually passionate. A place where relationships are a big deal. A place where you can worship God freely and intimately. A place to hear practical and relevant messages from the Bible. A place that wants you to be involved in serving this community. A place where you can be yourself and find friends. A place where you can grow into God's plan for your life. But most importantly, a place where you can find an exciting relationship with Jesus. Welcome to our church. We're glad you're here.
Well, good morning, Carpenter Shop. How are we today? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's worship Jesus. Come on, let's just take a moment and enter in with prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are today, God. We thank you for the opportunity to praise your name, to love you, to give you our worship today. And so we just honor you today. We say, come into this place, Lord. Even as we've entered in, you have come in with us. And we just turn our awareness toward you. We give you our affection. God, we're ready to praise you and worship you this morning in Jesus' name.
Written down in glory, and he's mine, yes, he's mine. so excited to be worshiping with you guys this morning. But here, there's this one song called What He's Done. And it really speaks to me in a way it can speak to all of you. Because you never forget how much He's done for us in our lives. You'll never forget it. So I just want us to worship to this song this morning called What He's Done. Life is over.
something I'll never forget. What he's done,
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget. What he's done,
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget. What he's done,
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget. What he's done,
sing what he's done.
What he's done. What he's done.
All the glory and
all the glory and the honors to the sun.
My sins are forgiven.
My sins are forgiven.
My future is heaven.
My future is heaven. I praise God.
Giving to him for what he's done in your life. Just enter into your own place right now and think about the testimony that God has given you. Think about when he's brought you through. Every time he picked you up out of the miry clay and he set your feet upon a rock. Every situation from which he rescued us. Everything, every wall that he tore down. Every time the enemy came against us. When the enemy came in like a flood, the Lord raised up a standard and he set him to flee. And we thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. God, we thank you that you gave us your son, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you gave Jesus, who died on the cross and who rose from the grave, the one who has pardoned every sin, every iniquity. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor. Jesus, we praise you this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the glory is here this morning. The cloud of his presence is here this morning. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's nobody like you, Lord, in all of heaven and all the earth. And so we bow at your feet this morning. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Jesus, we give you all the praise because you're worthy. So worthy, Jesus. Today, situations are being removed. We just thank you, Jesus.
I praise God for what he's done. I praise God for what he's done. I praise God for what he's done.
Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you so much for joining us at Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're glad to be a part of this house, can we just give a hand? Come on, let's just show our appreciation to the Lord for allowing us to be part of this wonderful community. If this is your first time with us, we want to give you a special welcome, and we want to get a chance to know you. So after the service, we'd love for you to stop by the welcome table in the foyer so that we can give you a personal welcome to our church. If you're watching online this morning, thank you so much for joining us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Are you excited to give to the Lord this morning? To return, oh, we can do better than that. To return back to him all that he has blessed us with. Do you know when we give, that is us blessing the Lord, and it's us showing our gratitude for what he has done in our finances, that he's given us a roof over our head, that he's given us food to eat, that he's provided for us to live and breathe, to move and have our being in his spirit. Amen. And so you can give using the QR code that you see behind me. You can give by cash or check. If you're doing that, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And if you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. You can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Praise the Lord. What a prayer. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. It's a challenge for us to get out of the way sometime, isn't it? To open the path for Him and Him alone to have His divine way in our lives. Sometimes we're selfish. How many of you ever wanted your own way? Amen. But how many of you discovered that His way is the better way? Come on. His way is the better way. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today with a sense of gratitude in our hearts, Lord, with thankful people, thankful for you, for your amazing love that you loved us so much, that you redeemed us with the blood of your only Son, and you put in us a desire to serve you, a desire to walk toward our destiny, God, the plans, not that we have for ourselves, but the plans that you have for us. I pray, Father, that as we visit love today, that you would awaken in our hearts, God, a desire to love you and to love others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, bless you on this Sunday morning. Those of you who are watching online, we're glad you're with us. If you're watching on a social media platform, the way that you can be a blessing is to look down in the bottom right of your screen, and there's a word down there that says share, and you can exponentially take the message to different places at just a punch of a button. Just a simple reality, share. Who knows, you might share it to the right person. Amen. Praise the Lord. Loving God and loving neighbors. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it? Come on, y'all. Amen. Loving God and loving neighbors. Probably every one of us in this room could be faced with the question, maybe not all of us, but maybe some of us could be faced with the question, if someone was at your house, say, hey, I see your neighbor over there has got a chihuahua. That's a wannabe dog, you know, right? I see your neighbor's got a chihuahua. Who's that? What's your neighbor's name? How many of you got some people in your neighborhood you don't even know them? Come on, just be honest. Look at that. But this is not a message about your neighborhood, okay? This is a message about people. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them people. It's about people. God has a standard, and today we're going to understand better His standard. Last week we talked about love, and we took a trip to the Jewish days. We took a trip to Israel talking about the Shema. I've been living in my house for 18 years, and every day when I leave my house, right in my vision, right in my eyes, is a little device that is indicative of the prayer of God's people. You know, the scriptures come alive. Lord, bless my going out, my coming in. But Lord, make me realize that you've called me to love you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. It's placed above the door, to the right of the door of every Jewish household, the Shema. And so we call Deuteronomy 6:4 the Shema of the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And you know, we ended up in the New Testament last week, and we're going to take off from there today, kind of a second part to the message that we talked about, love, the essence of God. And I pray that the Lord would touch your hearts today and to cause you to align yourself with His plans and His purposes, loving God and loving neighbors. I want to share a story with you that really was the latter point of last week's message. We ended with this. I'm using today Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and he reveals his motive here. What was he trying to do? He was testing Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I was studying in the past couple of weeks, studying and realized that there's over 300 questions. Somebody say 300. There's over 300 questions in the Bible that Jesus is either asked or Jesus asked. Over 300 questions. There's time and time again, people are drilling him just like this expert in the law. "Hey, how do you inherit eternal life?" And Jesus only answered, hold your seat now, out of over 300 questions, Jesus only gave an answer to 20 of them. Well, what did he do? Look at what he does here. What's written in the law? He answers a question with a question. Okay? How would you feel if you said to your child, "Did you clean your room? Did you ask me?" Okay? Okay? That's what Pastor Joy says, wacka, wacka, wacka. That's a good way to get a swift slap in the face, right? But Jesus literally set a precedent here. He's provoking thought, okay? He doesn't just want a surface answer. Because if you say, "Hey, did you clean your room?" "Yeah." I remember going in my kids' rooms asking them, did they clean their room? And at the surface, it appeared that they did. But I've discovered Little Debbie cake wrappers, chewing gum stuck to the wall. I've found everything in my kids' rooms. "But did you clean it?" "Yes." "No, you didn't. Look at these wrappers. No wonder I didn't get but two Little Debbie cakes out of that box." Okay? "So what is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" Okay, here we go. Questions again. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with," here's last week, "all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says in verse 28, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Think about that. Just do this. Just love me with everything that's in you and love your neighbor and you will live. If you look up that word live, it has a long, long trail of meaning. It's deep. Live's not just breathing. Some of y'all are alive, but some of y'all are not living. Okay, you're alive, but you're not living. Verse 29, "But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus." Here's another one of those 300 questions. "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, and he's going to answer this one, but he's not going to answer it directly. He's just going to tell a story. "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving the man in what condition? Half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite," he's a staff person, okay? Pastor Noli, all right? "He's a staff person. He came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was." Now, you have to understand the context of the story here. The Samaritan, you know, just the mention of that name, the Samaritan, brought negative connotation. They were criticized as not being fully bred. You're half-breeds, you know. They look at you differently when you approach a place in public. They treat you differently. They talk about you from the other table in the restaurant. Okay? But when he saw him, the Bible says, what did he do? He took pity on him. He went to him, and see, here's the thing. The expectation, I mean, the preacher walked by you, okay? And wait a minute, doesn't he work at the church too, the Levite? He you mean he passed by you? You lay in there half dead? Where's his compassion? But the guy that everybody says is really no count, he's the one who reaches out with his heart. Look at what he does. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. Then he put the man on his donkey and he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii. Hey, here's my credit card. And he gave them to the innkeeper. He says, listen, man, whatever the guy needs, let him stay as long as he needs to. Just put it on my card. Send me a text message when he checks out. Okay? You got this? He says, I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Verse 37, the expert in the law replied, wasn't the preacher, okay? And neither was it the other staff guy. Wasn't the Levite. Wasn't the religious group. It wasn't the ministers. It was the lowly guy. The guy that nobody really expected much out of. He's the one who had the mercy. Jesus says to him, he says, look, man, you need to go and do likewise. There's the teaching right there. Let the Bible teach itself. There's the teaching right there. What you saw him do, you do. How you saw him behave, you behave. Okay? I love this story. It's one of my favorites, I said earlier. In fact, I love the principles too. I've shared this with many pastors along the way. I love the principle. Jesus is a what? He's a master teacher. The master preacher has taught us how to communicate truth. You know, when I go listen to a preacher, I listen to the content, but I also look at what he or she is doing. I also look at the manner in which they're communicating. Like I'm communicating to you right now, okay? I watch myself online. I don't like to, but I watch myself to see what you have to listen to, okay? And so Jesus is the master teacher, and Jesus has taught us that the best way that you can teach is tell stories. This is what he just did. He's asked a question. Hey, let me tell you something. There was a man on his way to town. Somebody beat him up, okay? Jesus teaches by narrative. Jesus teaches by stories, and they work. You and I should remember that better than anyone. I remember on Sunday afternoons when I was growing up, the big thing to do was visit on Sunday afternoon. How many of y'all grew up in that era where you just go somewhere? On Sunday afternoon, you go to grandma's house. You finished eating, you go to grandma's house. She's got biscuits left over from lunch, and there's some molasses there on the table. Come on, you stick your thumb in there and pour it in. Come on, eat your heart out, Krispy Kreme. Okay? But we went to grandma's house, and then what we would do is all the kids would gather around and we would jump up on grandma's lap and we would look in her face and we would say the same thing every time. Tell me the story. Tell me the story. And she would say, once upon a time, there were 3 bears, Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear. And do you know, as long as we lived down that little street in Hertford, we would go up there every Sunday afternoon, and you know what we would do? Jump up in her lap and say, tell me the story. We knew the story, but we wanted to hear it over and over and over again. Once upon a time, there were 3 bears, Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear, and then we would wait for the culmination, that last line that would be a crescendo for the whole thing, and Grandma would say, and they all lived happily ever after. Remember that, okay? They all lived happily ever after. So here we are with the master teacher, and he's telling that the heart of the whole law of God, Genesis to Revelation, well, Genesis, not all the way to Revelation in those days, but he's telling us that the whole covenant, the whole thing, really comes down to basic principles, and one of them is loving God. Verse 27. Look at the first part of verse 27. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. God's looking for today, today in this new covenant, today in the 21st century, God's looking for people who will love him with their whole heart. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's looking for the very same. He wants you and I to love him with every part of us. He wants your heart. How many of you have had a family member or maybe yourself and you've had a little trouble with the ticker? So what did you do? Who did you go see? You went to see a what? A cardiologist. Say that word with me, cardiologist. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from here, the cardia. Jesus said, I want your heart. That word is cardia. It's the organ in the body, which is literally the center of the circulation of the blood. And it was regarded in the Bible as the seat of your physical life. Man, if you can die from a what? A heart attack. Because the very essence of your being is dependent upon that. If you put your hand over your heart, you can feel it. Jesus wants that. He wants all of your heart. He wants every beat that you have, the cardia. Leviticus says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. That organ is pumping the blood through your body. Have you ever heard anybody say about their passions? Maybe you're an avid hunter or fisherman, or maybe you like to play golf, or maybe you like to play, basketball. They say, man, he loves basketball, don't he? Oh, man, it's in his, what do they say? It's in his blood. It's circulating through his being. It's circulating. These guys that play music, they do it because they love it. It's circulating through their body. It's being pumped throughout their body. The life of the flesh is in the blood. This is the seat of your physical life. And guess what? God wants you to give what your passion is, your heart is, to him. Secondly, he wants your soul. This word is, in the original language, is psuche. It's the seat of your feelings. It's the seat of your desires, the affections. This is the internal part of you that will never die. It'll never end. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Man, I can't help it. It's in my soul. Or if you find that woman that you want to spend your life with, she's my soulmate. It's affection, it's feelings, it's desires, it's the determination of your heart to love her all the days of your life. That's the seat of your emotions. And God wants that too. He wants every part of you. And he also wants your strength. Don't mess yourself up, guys, looking at my bicep. I know you're envious. I know. He wants your strength. What is your strength? When you say God wants your strength, when Jesus was saying that, what does that mean, Pastor? It's ischus. It's a word in the Greek language that means your abilities and your might. He wants all of your abilities. You know, there's a lot of people that are in ministry today that never pastor churches and never go to mission trips and never serve on a staff at a church somewhere. They're in the ministry, in the school. They're a teacher. They're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian assigned to the public school. And they're giving the Lord their what? Their strength. They're giving the Lord their strength. God wants your strength. Everything that you put your effort and your energy into. Finally, he says, I want your mind. Man, it's interesting that he saved us for last. He wants your mind. He wants your dianoia in the original language. It's the makeup of your thoughts and your mental faculties. Some of you sitting here today could raise your hand and say, man, sometimes crazy things come to my mind. How many of y'all could say that? Come on. Sometimes, Pastor, where did that come from? Well, it's in the atmosphere, okay? May have been a movie you watched. May have been a song you heard. You didn't understand the words. Okay? I was going down the road the other day. I like Apple Music. I have it on my phone and in my vehicle. And sometimes I like to listen to things of days gone by. When I was a kid, I could go down to the dollar store and buy a record for like 45 cents. I remember when they went to 77 cents. I'm like, 77 cents for a record? And I used to buy songs. You know, you had a song on one side and you flipped it over and you had a song on the other side, right? I remember when Michael Jackson came out with a song about his mouse, Ben. Anybody remember that? Okay. I bought that record and I played it over and over and over again on my, what did you call those things? Phonographs, okay. I was going down the road the other day and I said, Siri, play Ben by Michael Jackson. Pastor, you're a born-again, spirit-filled pastor, and you want to listen to Michael Jackson's song about his mouth. I was just taking a trip down memory lane, that's all. And I listened to multiple songs of days gone by. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because it's in my what? It's in my mind. I put it in there when I was a kid. So some of the things that you pull up in your mind, some of you may not even realize where they came from or when they were deposited in your mind. Maybe it was something your dad said to you. Maybe it was something that your mom said in the heat of the moment. Maybe it was something that a teacher said about you. Maybe it was something that you got on a lyric that you didn't even know what was coming through the speakers, but you got it in your mind. And the Lord says here, He wants your mind too. That's why many times I pray, Lord, cleanse my mind, cleanse my thoughts, my attitudes. Because, Lord, I give you my mind. I give you my mind. And I think in today's culture, that'd be a wonderful thing for us to do quite often. God, take my mind. Lord, cleanse my mind of thoughts. Cleanse my mind of attitudes, Lord, that I might have developed along the way that I didn't even really know what I was hearing or saying or doing. God wants your mind. Everything that comes from you proceeds from your mind. And when you repent of sin, the Bible teaches that repentance is a what? It is a change of mind. I was going this way, but now I'm going that way. A totally different direction. That's why Paul says, I believe in the New Testament, Paul says this. He said, when it comes to your mind, there are moments when you're going to have to take captive every thought that presents itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, anything that comes through your mind that maybe it's ugly, maybe it's nasty, maybe it's dirty, anything that comes to your mind, you take that captive. In the name of Jesus, I cast that down. I come against that spirit that's trying to invade my mind. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on. You have to do that. Take captive those thoughts of your former days, of the things that you used to like to do, what you thought was life and living. This teacher of the law asked Jesus, how do we inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, give him all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And he says about this, he said, this is the greatest commandment. And then look at what he says here. It's where we are today. He says, the second is like unto it. He said, if you put the next one with it, if you love the Lord your God and then you put the next one with it, he said, you'll have a summary of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, all the prophets. If you'll just put this, and that is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes I scratch my head and I think, man, that's heavy. Love God, and He wants all the faculties that I just talked about, all the four parts. Love Him with every bit of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And then love your neighbors yourself. Loving neighbors. Loving neighbors. Verse 27, second part of it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving them. Loving Him, but loving them. And notice what the Lord is saying here. You love God first, then you love others. You love God. That's your relationship with God. And I don't know if you noticed it or not. I made a little notation on my phone the other day. I'll see if I still got it. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but when you go back and you visit the Ten Commandments. Yeah, here, I got it right here. When you go by and look at the Ten Commandments, This is the note that I made on my phone. I just pulled the commandments up. The commandment one is, you shall have no other what? Gods. You shall not make idols. And you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Boy, howdy, go to Walmart. Go to the grocery store. Just go out in public. And remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All four of those commandments, okay? No other gods. Don't make idols. Don't take my name in vain. And remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. All four of those commandments are a direct connection between you and him. You got this? Everything about the first four commandments are you and him. Then he switches gears with commandment number five, and he says this: honor your father and your mother. That's not about God, is it? That's about you and your mom and your daddy. Okay? Commandment six, don't kill anybody. Number seven, don't commit adultery. Number eight, don't steal anything from anybody. Number nine, don't tell lies about your neighbors. Don't make deceptive remarks about the way they are. Number 10, don't look in their driveway and wish you had their car. Okay? Don't covet. So all the other commandments, the first four, are what? Love God. Okay? Look at the Old Testament now. Love God. The last six, love everybody else. Mom and dad, family, neighbors. You got it? So there's a division, a natural division in the commandments. That is in the old covenant. But when you come to the new covenant, Jesus says the same thing. And people say, oh, well, you know, the Ten Commandments were for the old covenant. No, they weren't. They're for us today as well. There's so many people out there teaching, well, that was the old covenant. This is the new covenant. And Jesus ratifies it by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I like this teaching. I don't know if y'all do or not, but I like it. This great story that Jesus tells teaches that principle. Once upon a time, there was a man who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. There are four types of people that are in the world. The first of them, thieves. There are thieves in the world today. They have a motto: what is yours is mine if I can get my hands on it. What belongs to you really belongs to me if you're not around. People will steal from you. Think about this man. He was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among what? Thieves. Folks just waiting to jump him. Just waiting because he might have had something. They're just waiting to jump him. Okay? I was in a business the other day. They had a big sign up over top of the door that said, hoodies not welcome. You can't go in the store with a hoodie on. Because in our culture today, what has become the norm? That if you got one of those on, you can't be trusted. Where did that come from? Because the world is full of thieves, and thieves wore hoodies, and they could conceal their gun, and they could conceal the merchandise that they stole. Okay? I like hoodies, don't you? We need to redeem the hoodie. Okay? We need to redeem the hoodie. Some good Christian hoodies out there. Okay? But there are thieves out there. The thieves live by that adage, what is yours is mine if I can take it, if I can get my hands on it. And listen, the Bible says, it covers this, you should not steal. In Ephesians 4:28, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer. So you just came to Christ, then stop ripping people off. So you just came to Christ, stop ripping the government off. You pay your tithe and you pay your taxes. You pay your tithe and you pay your taxes. That's God's word. But you don't steal no more. What do? You work. You work. You do something useful with your hands. And I'm sorry, but if you're listening to this online, here, wherever, maybe down the road, 2 months later after it was preached, but you're listening to this and you're just lazy. You don't work a job. You're just picking up a check on the third of the month or having it dropped into your account. You're living against God's principles. That's not God's plan. Okay? His plan is for you to do what? Roll up your sleeves, work. The Bible says a man don't work. Come on here, come on. He shouldn't eat, okay? If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. They work with their hands that they may have something to share. Look at the purpose of it. Not just so you can have food, but that you will have food so that you can do what? Share with someone who really has a valid need. Are y'all with me? Someone who really does have a valid need. Notice the Bible says we should work, but not just because we can have something. There are thieves out there, people who say, what's yours is really mine if I can catch your head turned. Secondly, not only do we have thieves in the world, we have religious people. We have priests and Levites. We have priests and Levites. People who are positioned to lead the work of the ministry. People who are positioned to lead the work of the church. People who are compensated for that. They give their lives to it, and the church takes care of them. So the preacher, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy, were on the way to the church, and they had an appointment at 2 o'clock, and about 1:30 they get to Coleraine, and 1:45 they get to Ahoskie, and as they're coming down the road between Powellsville and Ahoskie, they see a man who's laying on the side of the road, and he looks like something has hit him. Pastor Wallace looks at his watch and says, we got an appointment at 2. And he keeps on going. Passes them by. Well, you can't trust people today. You can do something. Okay. You know what I do nowadays? This is what I do. I slow down, I pull over, and I say, hey, are you okay? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Are you okay? Do you? Oh, and I got a cell phone. Okay. I've already called 911. Okay. Just checking. But don't pass people by. You're the redeemed of God. You are the righteous people of the earth. You should care when no one else cares. I know it's an untrustworthy world, but we can be trusted. And so we can trust also that the Lord is going to watch over us, and he gives us wisdom. That's why, you know, you rolled the window down about this far, okay? Hey, is everything okay? If you have to do that, all right. But at least check, okay? At least put your finger on the pulse of what's happening in their life. Flat tire. You see the person, they got a flat tire. You pull over and you just lean out and say, hey, is everything okay? My brother's on his way. Thank you. Are you with me? You can check at least. This preacher didn't do nothing. This priest, this man of the cloth, this rabbi, whatever he was, he just passes by. The man, the Bible tells us the man has already been left as half dead. And the priest has things to do. Pastor Wallace got an appointment at 2 o'clock. Okay? Listen, I've called people before. Hey, I'm going to be a little bit late. Ran into a situation on the way. Okay? Just want to let you know. Take your time, Pastor. I'm sitting here at church. Okay? You can communicate with people. Priests and Levites have an adage too. What is mine, and you can't have it. Okay? My time is one of those things. What's mine is mine. I'm in control of it. These are the people in this world and in the church who may not steal from you. They may not steal from you, but they're not going to go out of their way to make sure that you're blessed either. I'm sorry, folks. There are people in the ministry like that. They love their position. They love the prestige. They love the title. In fact, I know a lot of people who are more concerned about titles than anything. I have a friend of mine who corrects me if I don't call him Apostle so-and-so. Because these people are into themselves. So what's mine is mine, and you can't have it. There's a third type of people. These are innkeepers. Here's what the innkeeper feels. He's in verse 35. You can read about him in our text. He's in business, and the reason he is in business is to do what? To make money. Okay? So his adage is, what is mine is yours if you have the jingle. Okay? I have a room. We have a pool. We have a cafe. You can stay here. You can have the coffee, the Danishes. You can even swim in the pool, but you got to pay. No money, no rest, no money, no hot shower, no money, no using the swimming pool. Because what is mine is yours, but you got to pay for it. Okay? Then there's a fourth type of person. Good Samaritans. Good Samaritans. Look at verse 33 to 35. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper. He said, hey, man, look after him. And when I return, I'll reimburse you for anything that's beyond what I've left you here. Today we would use a card, right? The Good Samaritan had an adage that he lived by also. What is mine is yours if you need it. Okay? What is mine is yours if you need it. Right. Okay? So there was enough loving God and loving neighbor as yourself that I'm willing to see a need and also what? Meet a need. Okay? Because remember what he said in the passage earlier? He said, you should work, Ephesians, you should work with your hands so that you will have enough money that when the need arises, you can do what? Bless other people. Okay? This is how loving God and loving people hashes out. That you're not selfish. You're not greedy. In fact, you're very generous. You're very generous because you love God and you love neighbors. The Samaritan. What is mine is yours if you need it. Loving God and loving your neighbors. Who is my neighbor? We just told you. We just shared the story of what Jesus shared, defining a neighbor. And after the man who fell among thieves was resting comfortably in that hotel room, he laid there a few days and he recovered. He drank the coffee. He ordered room service. Hey, could I get could I try your chicken and waffles? Room 32? Sure. What would you like to drink? I'll take a caramel latte. Sugar-free. Decaf. And so he gets the food delivered to his room. Why? Because somebody has saw the need and is taking care of him. Why? Because they love God and they love others. So after this, he's lying there and say, you know what? I think I'm getting my strength back. He peeps out the window and sees a swimming pool. He says, you know what? While I'm here, stroke, keep your hands cupped, you know, don't drown. And he swims. In other words, he lived happily, help me here, ever after. Loving God and loving your neighbors. One of my friends saw that I was preaching on this today, and he saw my promotion. He said, I'd like to make a little change in your slide. And he sent this to me. Okay. I said, man, what are you doing? Pastor friend from Rocky Mount. Okay. That's all you preaching today. I think the head's a little large for Mr. Rogers' body, don't you? Elaine took that picture, by the way. Standing by a brick wall in Hertford. It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day for God to do this, to knock on your heart's door and say, I want you to love me more. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated with society. I do. And sometimes I stereotype people that I see that are in a circumstance that I felt like, you know, they had more to do with it than anything. You know, I get calls all the time. Hey, I'm having a little struggle on this, having a little struggle on that. And I'm thinking, I guess so. You know, but no, you got to listen. Because God puts people in your path because he wants you to influence them. And maybe your reaching out to them will help them to come to the understanding that God wants your love too. Not just the pastors, not just the guy who goes to the church or the gal who goes to the church. He wants you to love him. He also wants you to love your neighbor. Well, Pastor, who's my neighbor? You think about that today. Not just the person that you really don't know their name across the street. Your neighbor is the one you see going down the road wherever you go. That's your neighbor. Can we just pray this morning? Can we stand together? And you know, maybe you're here. First of all, let me just ask, are you here today? And maybe God's touched your heart. And you say, Pastor, I want to renew my faith in him today. I haven't really been where I want to be. But I'm hearing the Holy Spirit call me to a place of renewal. Anyone here this morning, raise your hand. A place of renewal. God bless you. God bless you. A place of renewal with Christ. Anyone else? I want to renew my faith in him today. Anyone else? Praise God. My friends, would you come and let us just pray with you? Those of you that raised your hands right over here, just step out of your seat. I want to have someone pray with you right now. Just have someone pray with you, renewing their faith in Christ. Pastor Joel, would you come and pray with this couple here? Renewing faith in Christ. That's really what it's about, isn't it? Renewing faith in Christ. Maybe you're here and you just say, Pastor, I need to love more than I do. I get a little impatient sometimes. I need to love more than I do. Why don't you slip out of your seat and just let's spend a season of prayer in the altar together. Come on, just come. Let's just stand in the altar together and just receive what God has for us today. We bless you today, Lord. We bless you today. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift your hands and love him. Could you do that? Just lay your hand on somebody around the altar. Just pray one for another.
Thank you.
draw your attention as we come to a close today. Can I just ask you today to, would you revisit this passage in your home tonight? Would you just revisit this? Deuteronomy, last week, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I give you this day. Repeat them again and again." The song that we sang this morning that was so beautiful was talked about not forgetting. Not forgetting. Don't forget. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're in the car, on your way to Busch Gardens. Talk about the things of the Lord, not the roller coaster. How God's blessed us today to be able to get away. Talk about the goodness of God. Tie them on your hands, wear them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorpost of your house. There's the Shema. The Lord your God will soon bring you into a land that he swore to give you when he made you a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a land with prosperous cities you didn't build. Its houses will be richly stocked with goods you didn't produce. You'll draw from the wells you didn't dig, and you'll eat from the vineyards. Listen, church, you and I are going one day to a place he's preparing for us right now. He's doing it. And our passageway of getting there is a renewed relationship with him. God bless you guys for renewing your faith today. Keep yourself renewed. Talk about the things of God. When you're riding on the road, when you're in the vehicle, turn the radio on to a Christian station. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Build yourself up in your faith. Amen. These are wicked times in which we live. And among all others, God wants us to love him, and he wants us to love our neighbors. Come on. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves as you leave today. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you all.